as I entered the building this morning, someone said to me, "Where's your tie?" The answer to that question is, I forgot it. I came with an outline to start discussing putting on the Christian armor, and I forgot my tie. Somehow, that just seems either so appropriate or so ironic. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, this is our text for today, Paul uses the word finally. Anytime you see the word finally, you should probably back up and see what is said prior as far as the information in the text. If you back up to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, you find in verses 1 through 3 that Paul has some things to say about children being obedient to their parents. Then in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul turns to fathers and has some things to say about them. Slaves were common in the first century, so as you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Paul has some things to say about slaves. And then as you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul gives some guidance to those who own slaves. So in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 9, you have information given to just about everybody except moms in that day and time. After going through that information, after giving specific information to all these groups, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. If you've turned over to that chapter, let's take a look at it. Hopefully in the coming weeks, we're going to be spending a lot of time there. But we start with what I think is some preliminary information, which is absolutely essential. Once again, Ephesians chapter 6, let's see what it has to say in verse 10. Finally, there's the word. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Perhaps it could be rightly said that as we look at the preceding groups, Paul wanted them to be strong. Children, young people, be strong. Fathers, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, be strong. Slaves, be strong. Slave owners, be strong. It is this charge to be strong that precedes the information or the discussion about the Christian armor. So many times people, when they come to Ephesians chapter 6, they want to run and study the Christian armor, and that's a great thing to do. But before we study the Christian armor, it might be good to see and study that command to be strong. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm in a situation where I find that someone either in my hearing or someone has relayed to me that they have been told to be strong by someone else. Sometimes that expression, be strong, a person is trying to encourage someone to overcome an obstacle. It might be that a person has lost a loved one. And perhaps, and I don't know that this is necessarily the best way to console someone, but perhaps someone, as they're dealing with an individual who has suffered a loss, they say to the person who's grieving, be strong. It happens. Or it might be that someone is going through a divorce, a very painful time. And once again, that may not be the most encouraging thing to say, but a person will say, well, you just need to be strong. And it might be a young person struggling in school, or maybe there's a problem with bullying, and a parent or perhaps someone else says, maybe not the best thing to say, but they just say, well, you just need to be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul could have said, be strong, and not given any additional information, but he didn't do that. The be strong in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 is not a vague, it is not a general statement. In fact, as we look at the be strong here, we find that it's attached to something. Paul said, I want you to be strong. And then he goes on to say, I want you to be strong in the Lord. Well, that would be helpful, but he doesn't stop there. He says, I want you to be strong in the Lord. And then he says, I want you to also be strong in his might. As I said, it's very easy to skip over this information and immediately start looking at the Christian armor. But we would be well served. And that's the intent of today's lesson, to look at this before we head off and start looking at the Christian armor. I don't know if you've ever considered this, and again, I didn't intend this material because today's Veterans Day, it's just the way that things worked out. But as you think about our military, and you could look at other services around the world, but do you expect to find that as you look at any branch of the service, a 90-year-old man serving in the armed forces? Well, somebody says, well, they probably aren't going to live that long, let alone be serving. We don't expect that. What if we drop it down 10 years and we say, do you expect a man who's 80 or in his 80s to be serving in the armed forces? And we say, no, too old. Well, what if we drop it down to the 70s? Once again, we say, no, we don't expect to find anybody in their 70s still serving on active duty. What if we bring it down into the 60s? Someone might say, well, maybe in the 60s. But it's generally the case that as you look at the military, the armed forces, by the time a person has hit the 50-year mark, or is in the 50s, chances are they have left the service, either they didn't retire or they have retired, or perhaps they are now a senior officer or a senior enlisted person in the 50s, and they're still going to stay on in service for a little while, but usually by the time the 50s come, they're thinking about the end, the career is coming to an end, it's beginning to wind down. When we think about the military, The military is composed of people who are able to serve, able-bodied people. And not only are they able-bodied people, but they are young enough, the bodies are good enough where they're also able to, if necessary, fight. If a man is going to be a soldier, if a man is going to put on the armor, the battle gear, he needs to, first of all, be strong. We would say we recognize, we understand that principle when it comes to the secular realm. Being strong is important. But as we think about Ephesians chapter 6, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? Someone says, well, that sounds good to me. I think that's probably important. But how can I as an individual be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might? That's an interesting question. And it's a question that's also a little bit complicated. It's complicated because as you look at the original text, Paul's point can be understood in one of two ways. There's some people who look at this and they say the text can be understood as God is the one, the sole one who will make you strong. And that's from a grammatical standpoint, that's true. The text could be understood to say, let God make you strong. But it's also possible to look at the text in a second way. And that second way is that God will have a part in the process. But you as the Christian, you also have a part in the process. I think the second explanation is the right explanation, if for no other reason than this. If God is the one who does everything when it comes to making a Christian strong, then why even write the statement to be strong? If God is going to do anything, then that would certainly exempt us from any kind of activity. So it seems to me that you have to, from a logical standpoint and from the entirety of what else we find in Scripture, to say that God is going to help, but we also have some responsibilities in this area. Sometimes we hear people saying, the Bible says, and it doesn't quite say this explicitly, but we have to do our part and God will do his part. There's some truth in that statement. We think about Philippians 2, where Paul talked about working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. God has a part in salvation. We also have a part in salvation. As the Christian, we have some responsibility when it comes to being strong. Before we talk about that, let's think about strength for just a second. As you look about strength, at strength, Scripture talks about strength. It gives us illustrations of strength in a variety of ways. For example, back in the book of Job, in Job 6 and verse 12, it says that stones are strong. Stones are used to represent strength. Iron, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40, is referred to as strong. The sun, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16, is described as strong. Wind, Exodus 14 and verse 21, is referred to as strong. So God gives us, when it comes to strength, God gives us some illustrations for what strength is. He says, you want to understand strength? Think about the wind, think about the sun, think about iron, and think about stones. Now in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, God says to us, you as an individual can also be strong. When it comes to the Christian life, we decide what kind of faith we're going to have. We decide whether or not we're going to be a strong Christian or a weak Christian. We decide what kind of faith we're going to have. Is it going to be a strong faith? Is it going to be the wishy-washy kind of faith? As James described in James chapter 1 and verse 6, he says it's like the surge of the sea. It just goes back and forth. There's really no strength to that if we look at it in terms of faith. We can have a faith which is weak. We can have a faith which is cowardly. We can have a faith where we're numbered among the cowardly and the fearful, Revelation 21 and verse 8. The choice, God says, is up to us. Our nation recently had a day known as Halloween. And whether you participate in that day or not, you know that people in this country dress up. I heard a joke about a young person. He dressed up as an IRS agent. The young man would go to a house, knock on the door, say he was an IRS agent and he wanted 28% of the candy. When it comes to the Christian life, some people want to play dress up when it comes to the armor. But God says, look, there is no dressing up when it comes to the Christian armor. It's not a game. It's not a joke. It's not pretend. But God says, if you want to put on the Christian armor, you need to be someone in your life who decides to be strong. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your convictions. Be strong in your service. Be strong in your relationship with God. Now, someone might hear that and say, well, that sounds good, but it also sounds kind of difficult. And that sounds a little too difficult for me. Oh, sure, if I were the preacher or somebody who was really involved with the congregation, that probably would work. But I'm a young person. I'm weak. I'm poor. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a babe in Christ. Well, being strong, as we've already noted, is not something that we need to do completely on our own. We have a part in the process. But God says that he also has a part. We don't use the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles too much, but we're going to go back and look at a passage from 1st Chronicles today, as well as 2nd Chronicles. We're going to start with 1st Chronicles chapter 29, and in just a minute, read 1st Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 12. There are, in Chronicles, some passages, in fact, several passages, which are tedious, to say the least. But as you look through these books, you also find that buried within them, you have some great nuggets, some golden nuggets. And one of the nuggets is that 12th verse of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Both riches and honor come from somewhere. Come from where? Come from thee, that's God. And thou, that's a reference to God, rulest over all. And the writer says, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great. And notice this, and to give strength. Who are you going to give strength to? God says, I have the ability to give strength to all people. God has the ability to help us, to strengthen us, to aid us. Someone might hear that and say, well, that's interesting. How exactly does that work? I'm not sure as human beings that we can provide an exhaustive answer to that question. But we can point people to a book which illustrates how God has been able to do that and achieve that many, many times in many, many lives. The people in Scripture, and there are several examples, show us that they had a deep, they had abiding love for God. And because they had made that great commitment to God in a service, they were strengthened. You may remember that back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, God said, I want you to love me. And God said, I want you to love me with all your heart. And I want you to love me with all your might. And I want you to love me with all your soul. If you will do that, God says, I will begin to work in your life. I will help you become strong. The people who were willing to obey that commandment were made strong in the Lord. Men and women did their part. God did his part. Diligently seek God, do your best to serve him, and that strength will come. Will it come necessarily in a day? No. It may take a while, but you get on the road, stay in the right road, and that strength will come. Throughout time, God has encouraged his people to seek that strength and to possess that strength. When it came time for Moses to leave, somebody needed to be a successor. The person that was chosen to fulfill that role was a man by the name of Joshua. As you look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 23, Joshua is told, be strong. God knew that some difficult and challenging times would face this individual. So one of the things he says is that you, as a servant of mine, need to be strong. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23 says that Joshua would lead God's people into the promised land. That was a great honor. The Christian armor in Ephesians 6 is very important, but it's not all that we need. The Christian armor goes hand in hand with someone who has decided to be strong for God. Sometimes people need encouragement to be strong. Sticking with Joshua for just a moment, God says this is what you need. But when you move from Deuteronomy to Joshua chapter 1 and Joshua 1, 6 and 7, you once again read about Joshua and strength. This man is again told to be strong. I'm going to be with you, but you need to be strong. Moving forward a little bit in biblical history, we come to a time that involves David and his son Solomon. David, in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28 and verse 10, tells his son Solomon to be strong when it comes to building the temple. And if we can encourage children to be strong, that's something that we need to do. We should encourage young people to be strong when it comes to developing faith and trust in God. They should do their best to learn all that they can about him. When that knowledge is gained, encourage your youth to be strong in faith, in love, and service. Be strong, because we know that God cares for his people. Be strong in knowing that God has the desire and the power to help his people. Be strong, because we know that God will watch over us as we go through life. As we look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20, David says to Solomon, his son, here it is again. He said, I want you to be strong. I want you to be of good courage. Don't fear, nor be dismayed. For Jehovah, even thy God, is with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until all the work of the service of the house of Jehovah be finished. There are a number of items that as people go through life that can cause them fear. When I hear people say to someone, oftentimes it's a non-Christian telling another Christian, be strong. I have to step back and wonder in my mind, where's the person going to get the strength from? Here's the person who is poor. Here's the person who is unhealthy. Here's the person who is suffering and can't find a way out of the hole. And you're telling the person to be strong. Why? Where are they going to draw the strength from? That sounds like whistling in the wind. There is no basis for the encouragement. It almost sounds like a lie. But what about for the Christian? What basis do we have when it comes to being strong? The basis is God. The basis is an omniscient and all-knowing, omnipotent and all-powerful, and an omnipresent, that is, he's in all places at all times, God. Being strong is possible if we are a faithful child of God. I find it difficult, if not impossible, to understand why any Christian would not want to be a strong Christian. That's where the value is. That's where the power is. We can be strong regardless of age, gender, class, or anything else. Back there in Chronicles, what we just read, Solomon was told to be strong because God was going to be with him. The reassurance also said that God was not going to fail him. God was not going to forsake him. Now, someone might say, well, that's the Old Testament. I know. Someone was going to say, well, Solomon was special. He was in some ways. But do you know that the promise that was made by David to Solomon is essentially the same promise that we have made for the Christian era? The essence of that promise in 1 Chronicles chapter 20 is found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. That promise says, God is not going to fail you. God is not going to forsake you. If we believe those promises, if God can be trusted, he will not fail us or forsake us. We therefore can be strong. There's another passage. You can look at it. I think it's highlighted on the sheet. But in the book of 2 Chronicles, if sometime this week or maybe today you were to go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 15, you'd find some scary times in the land of Israel. Things were so bad that 2 Chronicles chapter 15 says that it was not safe for the people to travel. Now, there might be some times where you go out, or maybe there's some areas where you go and you think it's not safe. We can name some parts of our community where you can say, I don't want to go down on that street after night falls. Or I don't want to be over in this section of town. We generally, though, have some alternative routes. What if we lived in a time, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, where perhaps going just a short distance was always dangerous? Do you know what God's message to us would be if we lived in that set of circumstances? His message would be Ephesians 6 and verse 10. You be strong. Why, God? Don't you know what's happening over there in the ghetto? Don't you know what's happening with people over there in that street? God says, I sure do. Be strong. Now, somebody says, well, how are you getting that out of 2 Chronicles chapter 15? Here's how. There's a man by the name of Asa, a good man. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, things don't look all that swell. And yet, even though things look very bad for Asa, God says to this man, you be strong. Not only did God say to Asa, you be strong, you believe in me, you trust in me, you follow me, you serve me. God said, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7, if you do those things, you will be rewarded. God says you can trust me. But you need to be strong. For a scripture reading, we heard 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, and I didn't forget about that text. Maybe as Michael read those words in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, you thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There is certainly a similarity. You may remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that Paul talks about faith, hope, and love. He said those three things endure. Well, if you look closely at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, you find those three things mentioned again. Paul also mentions faith, hope, and love in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. As you look at the end of the verse, Paul talks about the hope of salvation. Before that, he talks about the breastplate of faith and love. He used different wording when speaking with the Thessalonians, but his point was exactly the same. He said, you be strong. You're facing some hard times. There's some false teachers. It's going to be rough, but you be strong. Now, maybe you're Christian. And maybe now or in the past or in the future, for whatever reason, you don't necessarily feel all that strong. Maybe as a Christian, you don't want to at some point in the life be strong. But day after day, God's message to us is, I want you to be strong. Be strong because you can be strong in the power of his might. Don't quit. Don't compromise with what's right. Don't stop praying. Don't stop working. Don't stop anything else. If we will do our part, God says, I'm going to do my part. The question then is, are we doing our part? This day, if we're a Christian, can we say, I'm strong? Not as a boast, not to brag, but I'm strong because I'm doing my best to love, serve, and honor God every single day, and God will not leave me. God will not forsake me. Difficult times may come. Hard times may persist, but I am strong. If you have that foundation, then you're ready to put on the Christian armor, to wear it and wear it with success. If not, you're in trouble. And yet the Bible says there's a solution. Come to Christ. That initial plan has been given so many times. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ, Galatians 3:27 for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And then the Bible says we arise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. Part of the way that life is new is that we've gone from that state of sin and weakness and bondage to strength in Christ. Do you need that strength? Today it's available. Do you need to be restored in that strength? Perhaps by having the people here pray for you to encourage you in some way. If you need to be strengthened. And we can help you publicly, we'd like to. But if you need that help privately, between you and God, seek it. Seek it today. So that for the rest of today and tomorrow as you go out into the world, whatever your walk of life is, you can be strong. That's what God wants. Let's make sure that that's what we have as we stand and sing the selected song.